On the live line with us this morning, C.W. Nevius from the Press Democrat. C.W., good morning to you.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I am well. Thanks for asking. And I was not surprised that there would be a huge outpouring after the death of San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee. I guess I was a little surprised at how far-reaching that outpouring was. He was a guy liked by many, many people.
Yeah, I don't think anybody disliked him. He was one of those people who, you know, it's San Francisco politics, so you're going to have a lot of disagreement on all sides. And there were times, I think, when different groups disagreed with Ed Lee and what he's proposing. But I think, and I know the listeners have heard it over and over and seen it over and over printed, he was a genuinely nice guy. And it's just, you know, it's a shame and a shock that he passed away at 65. But, yeah, the memories of him are, they're genuine and they're definitely heartfelt.
And you had a lot of those, too, when you were covering politics for the Chronicle. You had the occasion to spend some time with Ed Lee.
I did. We kind of hit it off. He's a golfer. I play golf. We both are terrible. and I played golf with him. And as I said in the column, I think you can learn a lot about someone's personality from around the golf. You know, people that you think you know suddenly throw temper tantrums.
Yeah.
Use a foot wedge and cheat and do all kinds of things. And, you know, I think he was as advertised. He was very calm. He was very, very fun, had a good time. He told terrible jokes. Everyone can attest to that. His sense of humor was definitely cornball, but it was fun. I mean, he'd be the perfect dinner guest. I mean, he'd be the guy that would never upset anybody. Very supportive. Just a good guy from start to finish.
One of the things I didn't know about Mayor Lee was that as he was awaiting the election results from November of 2016 and fully expecting, as most people were, that Hillary Clinton would win, that he expected to then be a part of her cabinet or a part of her administration in some way.
Exactly. And the idea had been floated when Hillary Clinton came out here and spoke. Ed Lee introduced her, and I know that they knew each other. Mark Buell, who's a friend of the Clintons, that also was also a friend of Mayor Lee's, made sense. Asian American would be a good add to the cabinet. But as I described in the column, the night of the presidential election, I was at a victory party at the Scott Winter Victory Party, and Mayor Lee was there. He actually pulled me over and said, if Hillary Clinton had won, I was going to Washington. And it just goes to show, I mean, the little moments in your life when things change completely, who knows?
Yeah.
If he'd gone to Washington, we'd had a different mayor. Who knows what would have happened if he'd had his health problems there? It would have been a complete change in his life, and it would have been a big change in San Francisco. And for whatever reason, it didn't happen, and now it's just a footnote.
And were there any concerns about his health prior to what sounds like a heart attack?
You know, Pat, I've talked to people, you know, to friends about this since it happened. And no, I really don't think there were. We played golf together. And he didn't take a cart. He walked the course, and he was very out and about. He was, you know, like many people who are short, he was 5'5". I know he worried about his weight, but he seemed very active. He seemed very, you know, good health, cheerful, upbeat, and good health. I never had any indication that he had health problems.
And I don't know if he meant to going into the mayor's chair as he did and then being, you know, reelected basically after that. I didn't realize what a foothold he had in the sports world in the Bay Area, because a lot of sports figures came out yesterday and expressing, you know, great love and admiration for him, too.
Yeah, he was very supportive. I think the one that must have pleased his family and surprised us was for Willie Mays to issue a very heartfelt statement about how much he would miss Mayor Lee. He was intensely proud. He had an orange sport coat that he wore at the Giants parade.
I saw that.
The wishes of his family and his staff that would say, you're not wearing an orange sport coat again. He would. He'd bring it out every time. And if you were in his office and he expressed even the slightest interest in the Giants or the Warriors, you were going to get a chance to see his championship ring. And he would always insist that you put it on and take a picture of yourself with the championship ring on. he was he was just an avid sports fan, and he rooted for the home team. He was a great Bay Area local sports team guy, and I think the sports people recognize that. And certainly, we should say, you know, did a lot, paved the way for the Warriors Arena in San Francisco. The Warriors are very grateful to him for that. That was not, it looked like a slam dunk, to use a sports analogy, but it turned out to be pretty contentious. And he definitely, behind the scenes, helped to smooth the way for that to happen, and it's well underway now.
Yeah, it's he was a huge part of that, and no doubt he will be recognized, just not in these few days after his death, but no doubt when that arena opens in San Francisco and the Warriors get back there. So he leaves a long legacy, and it seems like a lot of people liked him primarily because he wasn't a politician. You know, in spirit, he never was.
Exactly. I've heard a lot of people say that he was a reluctant politician. That's not true. He was never a politician. He had never run for any elective office. He'd never served as an elective office until he was tabbed, you know, by the Board of Supervisors. And let's be honest, the reason they picked him was they thought he'd be no threat. You know, they all had designs on running for mayor, and they all, you know, different factions thought about it. And they thought they'd bring this sort of easygoing, nice guy in, and he'd sort of keep the chair warm for him. And then when the election rolled around, but, you know, he did. He had the advantage of a recovery in the economy. You know, as we've said and as people have said, he came in during a recession. Unemployment was almost 10%. There was, you know, the tech boom had really not taken off. And in the course of the time that he was the interim mayor, and as time went on, the recession receded. Unemployment went down. He was talking about jobs. That resonated with people in San Francisco. And so by the time the November election rolled around, it seemed silly. I mean, here's a guy who's doing a good job. The economy's improving. San Francisco's on the uptick. Why are we going to say he can't get the job? And, you know, some people never forgave him for going back on his promise, but I just never got it. I felt like, you know, you want someone who can do a good job. He already proved he could do a good job.
Right.
I think it became a little bit of a millstone for him. I think it was, you know, if he served out his term all the way through to 2019, 2020, technically, he would have been the second longest serving mayor of San Francisco in 70 years.
Wow.
And that's a long time.
That's a long string of people, too. And now, you know, London Breed is stepping in as acting mayor. And it's not an easy task to step into that chair after something like this happens.
Well, exactly. And I think what is sometimes overlooked is that you know what the office of the mayor is, but everyone brings their own personality to it. And inevitably, they change it a little bit. And Ed Lee was steady. You know, he was diligent. He got things done. He wasn't a grand scheme kind of a thinker. He was more of a, like I said in his column, one of his real proud achievements was the fix-it team. And it's a group of city workers who go to neighborhoods and repair potholes and pick up trash. And that was Ed Lee. Let's get the neighborhoods taken care of. He'd like to do that. Now, London Breed is a bit of a fireball. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays. She can be very articulate. She can also go a little bit over the top and can kind of alienate people. So she'll bring her personality to this job. It'll be interesting to see the impact she makes as a temporary mayor, and to see if the Board of Supervisors decides to let her serve until June, when there'll be a special election.
Yeah, it will be an interesting time for San Francisco, no doubt. Yeah. Well, CW, I can't let you go without talking sports a little bit. And, of course, you know, my heart was broken when, you know, learning that Stanton was going to the Yankees and not to the San Francisco Giants. What are our options, as you see them, to improve this very sad team?
Yeah, it was sad. It was also Stan just basically said, "I don't think you guys can win."
Yeah,
so I'm gonna go someplace else. Well, a couple things. First of all, they had almost a biblical run of injuries. It was amazing the number of people who got hurt, from Bumgarner and the dirt bike to people have forgotten that one of the relievers, Will Smith, never even made it out of spring training before he threw out his arm, and he was going to be the setup guy. It was all going to be predicated on that. So some of those people will come back. but they obviously have to make some moves. I mean, they hear the fans loud and clear.
Yeah, I would imagine they do. They want those seats in butts, or butts in seats, I should say.
Either way, as long as the seats and the butts come together, Pat, we're fine with it.
Okay.
Yeah, I made the statement before, and I still think it's true, but they need like a tentpole player. They need somebody that, when you say, I can't wait for the season to start because I want to see how so-and-so is. And now with the Japanese player with Stanton out, it's a little tougher to do that. So they're going to have to find somebody that they can point to and say, this is a real difference maker on the team. But having said that, they've got some serious holes. That whole outfield probably needs to be revamped. They definitely need a center fielder. They need more power, without a doubt. They need a third baseman. Now they're depending on maybe Christian Arroyo from the farm system. It's very much a season in flux, and I think that the Giants fans are looking for good news. And in the next few days, with the winter meetings on, this is traditionally when good news pops up. So
yeah.
I would expect that it's one of those classic times at the winter meetings where a series of dominoes. One move is made, and all of a sudden, everybody makes a move. And let's see what the Giants do, but they're definitely on the clock.
Well, you're right. It's going to have to be noteworthy. It's going to have to be a big name that people can get very excited about. Is there a future in with the San Francisco Giants for Big Mac or for Jarrett Parker?
Yeah, I think there is. We all that follow the team know that the deal consistency is just the key to the whole thing. And I happened to be doing an interview last year, early in the season, and Jarrett Parker was taking a little extra batting practice. And he was swinging so easy, and I thought, well, that's a nice, lazy fly ball. And it would go off the facing. It would go over the right field fence. I mean, he has got so much power, and yet he can't seem to be that guy. So it has to be intriguing for the Giants, the scouts, the front office to look at him and say, gosh, if you could just harness that, he'd be a big bopper for us.
And well, they've been saying the same thing about Brandon Belt for how many years, though?
I know. And that I think, is the concern. You look at that and say, it's great to have potential, but at some point we want to see a result. And Brandon Belt is now in the position of being lots of potential and then going through a series of kind of slumps. So I think... I think that the front office has got to have some real scrutiny at this point to see what they're going to do. And they know it. I mean, they know that they need to do something. And, the Giants know it. There's a reason that they've been averaging 3 million fans every year. It's a lovely ballpark, but it isn't as much fun to go to if your team is losing 98 games. So this is an absolutely critical, pivotal year. The one thing I would say is the Giants have paid off their mortgage on the ballpark.
Yeah.
And that was a big cloud over there that they had to make those payments every year. That's been done, so they own the ballpark, and now they can move ahead, but let's see some action. I think that's a real deal.
Well, from your lips, CW, for sure. Thanks so much for being here, and we will check in with you in the new year. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you, Pat.